was.
Just before we begin the sugya, I just want to interesting ha'ara from something that was raised during a Seder. The Gemara says in the first part of Chulin that when you see a Talmid Chacham doing something, so you should be very weary before you draw conclusions why he's doing that. Because sometimes you don't have the whole picture, so you can't figure out what the lumdus was. The Gemara tells a story that that one of the Tanoim saw Rabbi Meir eating something, and they want to give a whole raya. You see that it's mutter, it's not tevel, whole chagadra. So Gemara says only that particular Tan, who was so such a tamachoch, so chap what was going on, he understood, he appreciated what he saw. So somebody showed me right at the end of the Seder today a picture. One of the rabbanim in yeshiva was eating yesterday in the calf. Anyone see this picture? Was there a picture? He was eating the calf, and on the table, there was, he had his pretzel, whatever, he's eating a hot pretzel or something. We weren't talking about Kimberly.
He was there today, he had the same thing, and he never drank just
Celsius. Let me explain to you. So he had a pretzel, he had a drink, and he had a Snapple yesterday, was it? And he had a little thing of grape juice. So somebody snapped a picture of it, and asked me, my hi, like, what's pshat? Like Ramana Shah, like, is he thirsty? If he's thirsty, so he's drinking the Snapple. Was Kiddush, was a dark case, well, grape. If Taka, let's say, loosely, he likes grape juice, nobody likes grape juice. Let's say he likes grape juice, and he's buying the ketamine grapes, he likes it because he's thirsty. So I did the Snapple for him. So no one could quite figure out what was going on. So we had a whole Lundership discussion. The other side of what was going on. So I came up with a theory based on Kesem Mavarchin. My theory was that maybe he's Choshish for the Machzeh Vitri. The Machzeh Vitri says that you have to make a new bracha on drinks in the middle of a meal. They're not covered by Hamaitzi. Rabbi Natam disagrees. Rabbi Natam says that the drinks are covered. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Eitzah that if you have the drink before the meal, maybe that's good. There's another Eitzah. If you drink wine at the meal, so for sure you have to make a bar priyak offer on the wine. That's the Gemara Beferish, Kaveh Bracha Le'atzmai. And then the din is that yain is pointed shamashkin. Once you drink wine and grape juice, you have a significant amount of it. So that pot is used for making shakal the cholodeis. So I thought maybe that was his chah. Maybe he's a pretty firm guy. He was a good friend of mine. He's my neighbor in the first marriage. He lived next door apartment does. So I figured in my stomach that was his pshat. Then I said maybe another chah. Maybe I said that maybe it was more of a psachim issue than a brachas issue. I've been psachim. We've been learning. In this case of Baruch, I've been psachim. Two brachim this year. So maybe he remembered that he forgot to make Abdullah on Motzei Shabbos. And then he allowed to make Abdullah till Tuesday. That would explain why Tuesday had it and Wednesday wouldn't have it, because he can't give Abdullah on Wednesday. So I was thinking of all these different answers. So Punk, I was walking to before, right, to the corner, right, after I left the Spanish this morning, and he was there. So I said, you know what? Why not? Let's ask. So he said he thought there was two fascinating lumdusha reasons, but neither ones were correct. Actually, the real reason was a real lumdusha reason. He happens to be involved in a lot of geirus. He does a lot of works in the basin for geirus. And he was on his way to go do a geirus on a man late in the afternoon. And we do a geirus, we do a mila for geirus. And he's supposed to make a bor priyag offering together with the asher kiddush. And he remembered that he had forgot to bring a bottle of wine along. So he was eating lunch in the cafe. He noticed that they were selling the little grape juices like Mishalach Manas. So he said, oh, chap, Ryan, he'll buy one. That we'll have for the bracha for the bris later in the afternoon. So he wasn't drinking the grape juice at the meal yesterday. He just bought it. So that would be the most obvious thing. If you see a guy having a bottle of grape juice, most probably he's buying it to make an Asher Kiddush to run a meal on a gear gobble later in the afternoon. So that was the emissa reason. Pretty fascinating, huh? So he responded, I think it was the most fascinating, most insightful comment of the day, was he says, guys really have nothing to do with the pictures of me when I drink in the cap. Okay, anyway, on that note, let's move on. Okay, I figured that was good pre-Purim Torah. And we had a little Torah out of it. It's just a joke. We got a lot of new halachas. Okay, back to my story. So we're about to embark upon a brand new sugya. And the truth is that even though our sugya technically begins in brachas, taf, and beis, and aleph, but it actually really precedes, not precedes in dafim, because brachas is and beis, there's not too much, only 41 shas, but the sukkah is really almost building on a principle that we know and quite familiar with, and it's a principle that we have to stop and ask ourselves for a second, why actually is not carrying the day in brachas daf mem beis and bet aleph. And that principle is actually a sugya that appears in Maseches Sukkah daf lamed ches. It's a principle called Shemei Ko'ene. The Mishnah in Sukkah daf lamed ches describes the application of Shemei Ko'ene as relates to the mitzvah halal. The Mishnah says there's a mitzvah to say halal every day, there's a sukkah, other occasions during the year. And the Mishnah says that someone can be made to you in halal. So the Mishnah just makes a point to say that if the person who's being made to you is a mechuyah b'davar, so then he can be made to you, and then there's no need to answer after him. You just listen to the words, smile, and move on. The other thing is that at the end of each parak of halal, you should say haluka. You say, I just, you know, that one, the answer, you know, screams out on top of the lungs. Okay, say haluka. But that's just a lechachila, just to participate a little bit, make it a little bit more labadik. But you really yay to the halal by hearing him. If the person who's saying the halal, say to you, a woman or a child or somebody who's not chayv and halal, whatever that means, so then you have to repeat word after word because Einam Mechui B'Davar can't be made to you. So that principle we know already. That's a Mishnah in Megillah, Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, Mishnah in Sukkah. That in order to be made to somebody else, the made has to be a Mechui B'Davar. So the Mishnah is assuming that there is a principle of Shemei Ko'ene, because here there's a mitzvah, Amir's halal, there's a mitzvah of saying halal and Yontif. And the Mishnah is saying quite clearly, you don't have to say the words. Somebody else can say the words for you. So that, the Gemara says, Mikan, obviously the Tanoim, obviously the Mishnah was assuming there's this Torah-taking principle called Shemei Ko'ene. The Gemara wants to know, Minani Mili, where does it come from? How do you know such a klal? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk. The problem is, the Gemara quotes a pasuk from where? You know, from Sefer Melachim. A pasuk in Navi. That the Gemara interpreted in such a way as referring to this halachic principle. That's always a problem. Whenever the Gemara invokes a pasuk and the pasuk is not in the Chumash itself, that's always a red flag. That who gives us the right to learn out dinim from Pesukim Navi? So although the Gemara here doesn't say this, it's probably what's behind the in between the lines. The Gemara does say in many other places that very often when we quote Pesukim from Navi, what really is the real source is some halacha Moshe Mesinai, it's Chuchsa Gemirila, and also Navi Vyasmi Akra. And this pre existing din is alluded to in the Nevi'im. So it's not like all of a sudden the days of Seif Malachim, somebody was Mechadish Shemecha. Shemecha has been around from long before the days of the Nevi'im, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. It happens to be when you're telling a story of Navi, so part of the story, it's alluding to this halacha, like the Havloth of Dolos. If you're reading a book, let's say you would be reading a novel about, you're reading a Jewish novel about something, and it describes that the, you know, Shabbos came, they made Kiddush, and they had Tzudah Shabbos. Ooh, the author of this book was Mechadish as a mitzvah kid. The author's telling you a story, the art school, you know, suspense novel's telling you a story about, you know, the yeshiva guy, you know, who can't get a shidduch and he wants to join the Mossad. And, you know, like, you know, we all know the stories on those novels, you know, high thrilled, fair suspense. And so it's not that Shabbos is this Chadish in Bnei Brak in 2011. It means I'm telling you a story, and built into the story are some piece of information that everybody knows. I've been around for quite some time. So too, Lahavah Fadol, Navi's writing a story, telling Baruch HaKadosh what happened, and it's referencing a pre-existing halacha of Shemei Ko'ene. So the Navi's not the source of the halacha. The Navi is just highlighting the fact that this did exist all along. So the Gemara is very clear that Shemei Ko'ene exists. The Gemara has it in Yonah the Yom a little bit, but the guy creates the Megillah. Also, the Mishnah says you don't have to read the Megillah yourself. You could be Yaitse based on Shemei Ko'ene. And we do it for Pasha Zachar, for Kiddush and Avdallah. We do it just all the time. Pretty much we're pretty good invoking Shemei Ko'ene. We have to always be careful to have a Shemei, to have a Mechui B'davar. And we spoke a lot about in the past how exactly do you define Mechui B'davar? Do you need a Mechui B'davar? But Deraisa, but Derabana, and Derabana is going to be Deraisa. Yeah. Katan, Isha, Arvas, Yitzamaitzi. I mean, there's a lot of terrors out there to properly, you know, be Magdia, to properly define Mechui B'davar. But the basic Din of Shemei Ko'ene is like self-evident. And all of a sudden, you open up a Mishnah in Brachas Daf Mem Beis and Aleph, and we're looking high and low for the principle of Shemei Ko'ene. It's a misguided action. It's nowhere to be found. The Mishnah begins in Brachas Daf Mem Beis and Aleph. We're not going to read the first part of the Mishnah. We'll pick up from Hayu Yoshvin, the second line from the bottom. Hayu Yoshvin, a bunch of people are sitting together. They're all together in a meal. Kolecha Nevarch Li'atzmai. Everybody has to make his own bracha. Each man for himself. have to make Mayor Burpee. I have to make Mayor Hamaitzi. Every person for themselves. When is there a concept that I can make a bracha for you? Hey, Sebu, Echav Bracha Kulan. All of a sudden, they have to undergo a new process, a new procedure called Haseba. We have no idea what Haseba means. I mean, we think it means something like, you know, like we do with the Seheda, something like that. We're going to find that hopefully in the next sugya, two sugyas down the line. It's not at all poshut what the word Haseba even means or what it meant Bizman Chazal and what its applications Bizman Hazes. There's a lot of ambiguity about that term, but we're nowhere there yet. I'm not talking about the case that does work. I'm actually talking about the case that doesn't work. Why is Hayyashri Kalech Mavarach Le'atzmei? I'm eating an apple, you're eating an apple. I'm eating a piece of challah, you're eating a piece of challah. I'm drinking a cup of wine, you're drinking a cup of wine. I'm a chubidav, you're a chubidav. Kalech Mavarach Le'atzmei. What happened to Shabbat Karnia? It works for Pesha Zohar, it works for Kiddush, it works for Abdallah, it works for Kriya Sabigella, it works for Hala, it works for everything under the sun. And all of a sudden, Bechaz and Nenin, somehow hocus pocus. Why? Pella? To make the question even more complicated, the Mishnah gives us an exception to the rule. There is a case that apparently I can be made to somebody else, even on that Bechaz and Nenin. What does the Mishnah say? Nisibu. Echad Mevarach L'Kulan. Now again, I don't want to get into the nitty-gritty details, what Haseba does and doesn't mean. That's for later sugya. But we'll just give this simple translation, okay? So I'm going to demonstrate two things for you. It's a good thing I have this thing on the side here for my Haseba. This is very good, okay? So I am hereby sitting, Yeshvil. Jeremy, I want you to make a motzi for me. I'm Yeshvil. She said it doesn't work. Halayla hazeh, halayla hazeh, kulana misubin. Jeremy, no problem. Unbelievable. Imagine if I tell you the same thing, Chris and Miguel. You come into shul and you're sitting in position, you can't be Yaitse. You lean, then all of a sudden I can be Yaitse, Chris and Miguel. What's going on? I don't understand the first half of the Mishnah, and I don't understand the second half of the Mishnah. I don't understand what went wrong with Shemei Kohen in the first place. What happened to the regular rules that govern being Yaitse brachas, being Yaitse mitzvahs, with Dibor? Why is that all of a sudden Yashvil Kolech Mevarach Le'atzmai? And whatever that deep, dark, secret problem is, which I have no idea yet what it is, how does that problem get overcome by simply leaning to the side and spilling some water in your kittel? Why does that solve anything? Why does that change anything? How does that create a more applicable the principle of Shemei Kohen? So the entire Mishnah B'chil Vetzayef doesn't seem to make any sense.
I'll give an example. Everybody sits together and our boss has in mind. But if somebody's walking around, we'd have to make its own motzi later on. It's the same thing. As long as if you're all together and sitting together and one makes a bracha for everybody else, that's okay. Kiddush. You're all standing around for Kiddush and one is motzi, everybody else. But if somebody's just walking around, you want to have a motzi because you sit standing there, it's the same thing.
I agree with you. Everything you said, 100%. I just have one three-letter question. Why? Why is anything that you said true? What you said is true. I just want to know, why is it true?
That's
where you're on the Kibbutzi. Because you learned the Mishnah, you learned brachas already, they already told the Shulchan Aruch, you already read the Kitz Shulchan Aruch, you know all the Din already. I'm trying to reconstruct how in the world did we get there. Like, what happened to Shabbat Koine? I'm just curious. I give you a marshal, Chris and Megillah. I'm standing, I'm laying the Megillah. And the guy in the back, this guy's jumping around, the guy can't sit for 35 minutes. He's walking around, spatiering around. He has everywhere. Is he Yotze?
Yes.
Good.
But he was there when I made the bracha. He was there together when we were all.
He was walking around from the bracha. He couldn't even stand for the rabbi's announcements. The guy's jumping out of his seat. The guy's spazzing up and down the halls. So the basic bottom line is, I want to know what happened to Shabbat Koine. And if Kain, if Kvaraskvar, if it got lost in the shuffle, why does it come back with Chesed and Meisim after Haseba? Those are really the two questions that I'm asking.
Is this then only the Chafilah?
Depending on what the answer to the question is going to greatly impact upon how L'chadchila B'diavad it is. Okay? But I want to go back to the Gemara's for a moment. Actually, not in that parak. And I want to pose another challenge. Does Shemit Karna always work? Do we have any other inkling anywhere in Shas that there are some kind of limitations? Now, I don't mean limitation, but that I got. That was another sugya a few weeks ago, months ago. Is there any other kind of a mitzvah that also isn't subject to the regular rules that govern Shemei Karna? Any other limitations of Shemei Karna? If we can discover other limitations, sometimes, you know, when you find one exception to a rule, it's very, very hard to understand why that's true. But if you start to see a few exceptions, then a pattern begins to develop. If the pattern begins to develop, so then maybe we may get a little bit of a better handle on what that pattern, what those halachas are pointing, why these exceptions are true. So let's take a look at a Gemara that appears at the beginning of the seventh perek of Mem Hamad Beis. Tanya Nami Hochi. Put it on, it's on the Marmar Kermis, right? Second of the Marmar Kermis. Tanya Nami Hochi. Shnaim She'ochlu Kiyachas. If two people ate together, mitzvah lecholik, they are supposed to divide up. What does that mean? What does that mean, mitzvah lecholik, in the context of benching? They are not supposed to make a zimun. Making a zimun doesn't just mean saying Rabbi said Nevar. Making a zimun means that one person is going to bench on behalf of everybody else. So unlike what the Mishnah says in the name of the Pek, Shlosh Shlach Liachas Chayav Nuzamein, when you have three people together, so they have to bench Bezimun. And the olden days, bench Bezimun meant one person benches, everybody else listens and smiles. So the Brayis is qualifying and saying, if it's two people, they're not allowed to do that. They must be the Mechuyav Lechalik, Mitzvah Lechalik. When is that true? Kishashneim Seifrim. That's if they're both Tamil Chachamim. You have Seifrim meaning Tamil Chachamim. So each one knows how to bench themselves. So then the correct protocol is each one to bench. Aval Echad Seifrim Vechad Bur, Seifrim Vech Bur Yetzei. But if one of them is a Seifrim, one is a Tamil Chachamim, and the other is a Bur, like an ignoramus, and I'm Aretz, so then the Seifrim, the Tamil Chachamim, makes the Brach, and he's Mighty Nebuch, the Am Aretz. Ad Kan Tavir Abraisa. Anyone understand this, Bryson? I don't understand the Bryson. Reuven and Shimon are sitting together, and it comes time to bench. Are they mechuyv to bench with Zimon? No. Shlosh of them. That special din of Zimon, it's derived from Sukkim Gal Hashem Iti, whatever the Kishim Shemek, whatever the Bekairos for the institution of Zimon are, the beginning of the seventh parak. So the chiyuv of Zimon is for sure only for three. Shlosh of them. Two are not chayv of Zimon. Good. So we're not Chaim and Zimun. Good. But still, I want a bench and I want to be made to you. What's the problem? If it was Friday night when we make Kiddush, did we both make Kiddush? No. Matzai Shabbos, did we both make Abdullah? No. In Hallow, we're both in Shul. Did everyone say Hallow? No. Kriyas HaMegillah, everyone read the Megillah? No. So we have a principle, Shemei Koineh. So what happened to Shemei Koineh in Brachas, not from Hamad Beis? I understand why Shnayim She'ochlu Ki'echor Ein Chayav Nezamein. But what's the mitzvah lecholik? Why is there a mitzvah? What's the lechad chilu? What's wrong? I can't be yet to Shemek Koine. And whatever the problem is, it's not an absolutely insurmountable problem, because give me a proof that it's not an absolute, complete, and total problem. But the board of Tamachach Matacha works. How does that work? How is it that the board is yet to Tamachach? What's the answer? Obviously, the two words. Shemek Koine. So, if you accept as a principle Shemek Koine, which you do because it's the Mishnah, and you accept that it applies to benching, which you do because Haraya, the Seif can be made to the Boer, so that why Mitzvah Lecholik? So what was wrong with invoking it all the time? I used it now, I got for Kiddush. Why can't I use it now? And I am going to use it for Birchas HaMozen. When am I going to use it for Birchas HaMozen? Even Lechad Chiva? Forget about the Seif and the Boer. When you have a Zimun, again, we're not used to this image of one person benching everyone being yes, but if it's Ban Chazal, the Pesukos, how it was, we know the Shemek Oina Bechza Mazun. You don't remember the Gemara in Brachas, the Afchof, about the men and the women? A woman can't be Maitzi a man, Bechza Mazun, maybe because maybe she's on a Chiavis with the Rabbanan. But if she would have been Chiavis with the Rice, she could be Maitzi a man. So of course it's Shemek Oina Bechza Mazun. So what's going on in this Gemara? So now we have two strange dinim. We have a Gemara, a Mishnah Naf Mem Beis, that somehow is ignoring the entire principle of Shemek Oina, lock, stock, and barrel when it comes to brachas, unless you do a seva. All of a sudden, a seva solves the world's problems. And then we have a sugya that talks about mitzvah necholik. And mitzvah necholik, all of a sudden, is a terrible problem, but it's also surmountable. It's surmountable either tabachachman bor, or it's surmountable with the zimun. So we can't quite pin down what the problem was, what the solution is. Otherwise, we got the sugya down pat. We're not sure what the problem is, not sure what the solution is. Before we try to solve these multiple riddles, are they the same riddle? Is this one dinim? These are two dinim? Is these just happen to be two quirks? Or is there some kind of unifying feature between the two? So we find two potential ikuvim, two potential things that are inhibiting the application of Shemayim Kohanim. One is position. Are you sitting or are you leaning? Whatever Haseiba means. And number two is numbers. Are you two or are you three? Notice that the sugi that we're learning at Daf Mem Beis is primarily talking, what's that Mishnah talking about, Mem Beis? Which kind of brachas is it talking about? Brach Mishayin, right? The Mishnah talks about Birich LaYayin Shafleyam Mazon, it's talking about Brach Mishayin, it's talking about Burpe Agof, so Hamaitzi, so Burpe Aitzi, it's not talking about Benji. So the sugi Birich Zanen, Brach Mishayin, so we find the primary problem is positioning. And what do we not find anywhere explicit in Shas? We don't find any mention of another thing that can inhibit us. What is that? Numbers. We don't. How many people are sitting around the table in Daf Mem Beis and Ralph? Any ideas? I mean, do I hear three maybe? Maybe only two? It's hard to tell, right? So I'm just throwing out a question. On the Mem Beis and Aleph, when the Mishnah is telling us, here is a problem. We can invoke Shemei Ka'ayna on the Mem Beis and Aleph unless you have the right position. Is there also an implication about the right number? Is it necessary to have three people here also? Anyone have an idea about that?
Maybe it's Echon Devar for
Kulam. Kulam sounds a little bit more like there are a lot of people here. It's not 100% clear. So who's this machlokes between? Rashi and Tosfos. So Rashi, on Daf Mem Hei, has a startling statement. Rashi says, when the Gemara quotes the Braisa, it says that Shnayim Shalach Yechad Mitzvah Lecholek, what does Rashi say? Mitzvah Lecholek, Ulevara Kol Echad Bifle Atzmoy, Bein Bichza Moitzi, Bein Bichza Mozun. Rashi says, both Hamoitzi and Bichza Mozun, is a klal, Mitzvah Lecholek. So in other words, according to Rashi, it's Munachin, and Daf Mem Hei Beis, that of course you want it to be mighty somebody in Birchas Hananin, of course you have to have three. That's part of the statement. That's what the Braisa means, Mem Hei. According to Rashi, there is absolutely no difference between Hamaitzi Birchas Hamazon and Mitzvah Necholik. So when the Mishnah on Daf Mem Beis talks about the necessity for Haseba, what is the Mishnah? The Mishnah doesn't mention, but it's Bufan Me'elov, because you learned Daf Mem Hei. If you put together Mem Beis Mem Hei, according to Rashi, in order to be mighty somebody in Birchas Hananin, how many factors do you have to have present? Two factors. Number one, you have to have right amount of people, which is three. And you have to also have right positioning, which is Haseba. So strangely enough, Chazal say these two different dinim, two different prakim, but that's why you have to learn all the brachas. You have to put together the two sugyas. So Mem Beis is talking about positioning. Mem Hei is talking about number of people. Maybe the reason why the Mishnah didn't bother deleting this on the Mem Beis, maybe the Mishnah thought it was obvious. Maybe the Mishnah thought you could figure out your own Echad Mevarech HaKulam, possibly. But according to Rashi, it's clear as day that you need both conditions to be met.
Would that mean that by the person's aborted, the two would be without a Seba, or does it mean that...
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure what the board... I'm not sure yet. We've got work to do. So again, we're just collecting, you know, data right now. We're not analyzing the data yet. We have no idea what the theory behind this is. We're still in the collection mode. So we dug up a Mishnah Daf Mem Beis that talks about Birchas Hananin, Bracha Rishayna, and the Mishnah talks the language of a Seba versus not a Seba. We dug up a Gemara and Daf Mem Hamad Beis that's primarily talking about benching, we thought, and talks about numbers, and Rashi was quick to dispel that misconception. No, it's also talking about Bracha Rishayna. So according to Rashi, both are necessary to be Maitzi Seba and Bracha Rishayna, both the Derech HaSeba of Mem Beis, as well as the numbers of otherwise Mitzvah Nechalek and Daf Mem Hei.
How do we see from Rashi that it has to be three people?
what the Braisa says. The Braisa says, Shnayim Shachlik Achas Mitzvah Lichalik. Two people have to separate apart from one another. Obviously, if they're three people, you don't have to do that. Three people, no one would say three people, that's the Mishnah. Shoshach Lachachayim Lazabe. As human beings are being made to you. So Rashi just snuck in there under the radar. And Rashi said, by the way, this Braisa is talking about also Bracha Bishenu.
Men that have to be together.
It sounds like it's got to be a zimun. We usually think zimun is like a bracha. Nobody sits around before bracha mishan and asks, "Do we have a zimun? Oh, is it mezumin here? You offer bar mitzvah." According to Rashi, you gotta figure that out before you make a bracha. I mean, before you motzi. If you don't want to be motzi, then you can do whatever you want. But if you want to be motzi with a bracha, you gotta check out that you have mezumin. That's what Rashi says. I didn't say it. Rashi said it. I don't know. Rashi said, I don't know. I'm not sure. It's true because the Braisa was also talking about Bichsa Mosul, so it could be they just meant mostly to keep it parallel. Unclear.
The word, are we defining the word mitzvah as in if you're not doing it, then it's a problem? Or are we just saying?
Well, we know that it can't be an unbelievable insurmountable problem because the Braisa does concede if there's a boar here, you could do it. So it's hard to believe that it's going to be Akka b'di'evet. If it's going to work for a boar, it sounds like it would still be good b'di'evet. We don't have no idea. We have no idea what the l'chadchi would even be. So again, just collecting data. We didn't say anything yet. Shir didn't start yet. We told the funny story at the beginning, and we're just collecting some information points. Okay? Like detectives. We're still looking around. Sherlock Holmes trying to put down all the pieces, all the clues, before we try to collect, advance the theory. Is Rashi Muchach? That's what the Braisa is talking about? No. It's actually very strange to stick that into the Braisa. Tosus not only thought it was strange, Tosus thought it was actually wrong. Tosus on, I think we put it in the Bamakamas, right? We put it on the Mem and Aleph. Tosus starts giving you a whole shit quality, but says, Brach is a show where Rashi is wrong. Let's take a look at the Tosis. Pirush Rashi. V'cheilin ha-moitzi u'shar brachas. Eina echad mevrach loitzi chaveiro. L'gabi hadi yom ha-ba'ay n'aktid n'shtayim shlach v'yachas l'chol. B'rachas ha-moitzi, b'rachas ha-moitzi, l'ashin Rashi, come on. V'loi nihira, says Tosis. Tosis, I don't think they're right. I don't think Rashi's right. We have examples in Chazal explicitly of Yechidim being Meitzi, other Yechidim in Birchas Hananin. We never heard of such a thing. No one in the right mind ever heard of asking for a Zimun before you make a Bar Per Eitz for somebody. Len Hira, the Liel Per Eitz Mevarachim, the Uvdu Debar Kapara, Nasa Bar Kapara, Rishus Echel Levarach, Ushtam Vavz. Remember that story? Who remembers that story? Bar Kapara was a wild story with the Pargio. Remember that? That Bar Kapara was the Rebbe and the two Talmidim there. One was eating pargyel, shish kebab, something. The other was eating some kind of cooked vegetables. And the question was, who should be mitzi? Who? Which bracha? Right? Which is precedence? What was the shaila? Shaila, you have to make adam before you make shahakol. Remember that? Who remembers? Little chazar, right? You have to make adam before you make shahakol. Oh, Shalom aleichem. How are you? This is wonderful. Yeah. We have this chus to know for. So Tosfos takes Rashi on and says, wait a second. It's not true. You're claiming that it's not shaykh to be mighty 70 b'chsenenim if you're lacking the right numbers. Only two. The famous story about Kapara. Gemara is trying to figure out about whether the bar peradom and shahakol should come first, whether the pargiot or the broccoli comes first, the chicken and broccoli, which you make a broch on first. But in terms of one being mitzi and the other, what was the problem? Of course one's going to be mitzi the other. That was the whole topic of the discussion. Well, of course one's going to be mitzi the other. So says Tosfos, there are only two people. There are only two tamidim there. So Tosfos is smarter than you are. Tosfos knows that you're going to shepherd them. What are they going to say? What are you going to tell me a story? What? There must have been someone else there. I'll tell you who someone else was. Bar Kapara. It's like Tosfos couldn't even be massive. He's having chicken and broccoli with his tamidim. Come on, these shushan burn party. Come on. So Tosfos, there must be another tamidim also. So Tosfos says, nah, that's silly. Tosfos, don't have me shy. There's another tamid there. Says the odi avishlosh awesome lo yushamela peiris. But al pi alocha, The number three only makes sense because that creates the model of a zimun. Now, you only have a zimun on bread. There's no such thing as a zimun on fruit. So let's say I want to be meitziyun in a bracha charona. I can't be meitziyun in a burning fresh. I can't be meitziyun in a halamichia. There's no such thing. You're probably wondering, hey, we do it all the time. Well, we'll have to find out why we do that. But Taisa says, of course you can't do that. Because if the same way the Gemara says, mitzvah lechalek, that two is not good enough. Three who ate fruit is like two who ate bread. Since there's a din of ein zimun lepeiros, there's no real tzir, no real kvias, no real zimun for peiros. So apidin, that's given there were two. And Baraka Baruch still had no qualms, still had no problems with being made to each other, the Tamid being made to each other with Bracha Rishayna. So that, and you see from that story, the Rashi is wrong. And when the Braisa says that Shnayim she'och lemitzah lecholik, which is tantamount to saying that one can't be made to somebody else in a Bracha, that's true by Bracha Achorayna. It's not true by Bracha Rishayna. That's Taisa's first kasha. Then Taisa goes on. And Taisa says, V'chei nami amin lekaman de'al amor echem avrach lekulon. There's a Mishnah later on that says that when it comes to making the bracha Bor Mara Eish on Matzah Shabbos, one person makes the bracha and everybody else is Yitzhak. We do this all the time. Every Matzah Shabbos will do this. So it says, Tais, how can you do that? Isn't that a violation of this klal? Because you don't have the zimun. Last we checked, you don't say Rabbeisai Nevarech Ala Eish. There's no tzir, there's no zimun. Rafal Bichain, the Gemara talks, the Mishnah talks about being Maitzi somebody else. So you see from these two halachas, the story of Bar-Kapara and the story of the Yesh, that Rashi is not right. The second Raya is such a Raya. It's not a very funny Raya. What's funny about the Raya?
If they're all
Yesh,
why can't they do the same thing
and not one Yesh? That's like a, you may be right as a good dichoy, but I would be like, I like taking a back with this Raya in the first place. I mean, you're assuming you're making the Bar Mitzvah on B'Shas Havdalah because you know what they do in your house because you've been around for 2,000 years. You've seen NCSY Havdalahs. You know what Bar Mitzvah is. You've been there, done that. But we all know you can make a Bar Mitzvah without Havdalah. The Gemara says in Sochem, it's a cute thing. Im Farask, but you're already making Bar Mitzvah on Matzah Shabbos. Chazal was misakin that you have to make a Bar Mitzvah on Matzah Shabbos. The Chazal said you should make a Bar Mitzvah on Matzah Shabbos. The Gemara says, by golly, I'm making Havdalah anyway, so instead of walking to the pizza store, make a Bar Mitzvah, I should do it ala kais, because that gives a little more chashivas to it. So that's what we do, But I'm not sure that was always the practice.
Is it Bar Mitzvah?
Yeah, who says it's Bar Mitzvah b'chlal? Who says it's even the topic? Maybe Baruch Bar Mitzvah is closer to Kriyas HaMegillah than to Bar Mitzvah. So, Taka, what is it? What is Bar Mitzvah? Very, very much the bracha. So most of the Rishonim say that Bar Mitzvah is not a Bar Mitzvah b'chlal. What's the greatest raya that Bar Mitzvah is not a Bar Mitzvah b'chlal? You don't make it on Tuesday. Every time you use a fire, you make a Bar Mitzvah. No, you only make it on Matzei Shabbos. The Gemara says Mefarish, the fourth Berachah Pesachim, that Chazal Mesach and Bar Mitzvah on Matzei Shabbos. Why? Because Ad Marisha was given the Chochma to rub two stones together. The first boy scout rub two sticks together on Matzei Shabbos. And Mishbrahim gave him that Das. So to commemorate that great invention of fire, we just had a Berachah Mitzvah. It's much closer in model to a Birchas HaShevach than it is to a Birchas HaNen. Let's say, Marshall, I see Niagara Falls, so I get overwhelmed, make also Master Birchas. That's a Birchas HaNen. That's a Birchas HaShevach. It's a person hears thunder, so they make a bracha. That's Birchas HaNen. Birchas HaNen. So I'm seeing a natural phenomena that catches my attention. So fire doesn't catch my attention so much. It's not so exciting. It's not like going to the Grand Canyon. But every Motzei Shabbos, so I should remind myself that Tacha is pretty kosher. Without fire, it would be pretty tough world to live in.
I mean, probably
every summer, Masa. I'm not talking about Pesach. I'm talking about the Mar. So it's a little bit of a difficult Taisus. Why Taisus mixed and matches the two, unless Taisus holds, it really is fundamentally a Birch Zenenin. It's a funny kind of Birch Zenenin, but maybe that's what it is. That's a shah. There are different minhagim about the Mishnah says that you're not supposed to make a Bar Mitzvah until you benefit from the fire, until you see the fire. So that's why we have a minhag that we try to actively show that we're seeing the fire. Mikra din, you don't have to stick your fingernails into the fire. Mikra din, just look at the fire, seeing the fire. Shalom, you'd say. But we have a minhag we try like to show that I'm really mamash being nana from the fire. So there are some people who put their fingers to the fire before they recite the bracha Bar Mitzvah because It's not birch zinen. It's really a birch shevach. So first you have to enjoy the fire, and then you make a bar reish. And there are others who make the bar reish, and then they put the fingers up to the fire. So there's more of a birch zinen. And there are others who do both, because they're not sure what it is. So a little before, a little bit after. Anyway, back to that story. So the two rayas of Tosfos, we're not like 100% sure we buy into both these rayas. But Lamaisa Tosfos is very, very convinced that Rashi's reading into that braisa to include birch zinen is not really true. So Tosfos says, so Taka, now that we've disproven or claimed that we've disproven Rashi, so what's the svara b'chalik between the two? How come when it comes to birchas hanenin, so bracha rishayna, so somehow we're not so excited about the requirement of three? Don't really think three means anything. When it comes to birchas abazim, all of a sudden three becomes very important. So Tosfos says, Akein nirali, nirulano, the bebracha rishayna, motziyin zeh zeh shnayim, l'kuli alma, v'yatam, So Tosfos is giving us half of the solution to our grandiose riddle, but we're not going to get there yet. Tosfos is just right now pointing out a very, very small chiddush between the two. The goal here is to create a tziruf. Now, we have no idea why we need this tziruf exactly, but that's the goal here, no question about it. So Tosfos is saying that the standards necessary to create tziruf for bracha rishona are less than for bracha achrona. In order to create a tziruf for bracha achrona, you need a lot of tziruf. You need a lot of joining together. And less than three people, that's not a group. So you sit down, 15,000 people together, that's a group. That's a multi, that's a chevra, it's a chabura. Two guys together, that's not really a chabura yet. So you need two's company, three's a crowd. To create a crowd, you have to have three people. It's like there's a din deraisa, the suffix tumu, which is around his doors. The Gemara says it knows it. That means three people. Three people, that's a chabura yacha. That's already a mokum rabim. So Taisa says that when it comes to bracha charona, you really, really need a super duper duper tziruf. Why do you need such a super duper tziruf for bracha charona that you don't need the parallel tziruf for bracha rishona? So Tosfos says an interesting thing. Tosfos says because by bracha rishona, they're really mechubei yachad. The two guys are really here together. They are connected. There's a glue that's connecting the two of them. What is the glue? They're about to eat lunch together. So they're connected to one another. They have shaychas, they have tziruf biyachad. So even though it's only two, but although they may be lacking in numbers, but they're making up in terms of context. Since they're planning on eating together, they're about to chashit together, that's enough. Masha ain't kain. When it comes to bracha charona, everyone's out the door. The guy's benching. The guy's running through. Harachman's, forget about the guy. The guy's mamish, one foot out the door already. He's running. She's running. Everyone's out the door. So there's botla chabura. If it's three people, okay, it's still chacha chabura. But if it's only two people and each one is benching at their own lightning speed and each one's out the door faster than the other, it's botla tzira, botla kviyas biyachad. So therefore, Tosfos is just using that to explain this minute difference. Why is it that we have slightly different standards of creating a kriyas biyachad? In one case, we're insisting on three. In another case, we're foregoing on three. It's a very, very nuanced difference, says Tosfos.
Why can't we say the opposite? That by bracha achrona, the tziruv is already created.
Could have.
Connected.
We could have said that, but then it wouldn't matter. The braisa says befavors that you need three for birchas abazim. I mean, that price is taught by Berachas Abazo. It's in Perakes Mevarchim. It's in Perak Shalosh Achol. There's no question it's talking about for Berachas Abazo. So then Tosfos quotes another pshat. Again, they're picking on a very, very seemingly trivial, almost minute detail. Nothing's trivial in Halacha, but a very, very minute detail just explain to you why the standards of Tziruf are slightly, slightly different between Berach Rishon and Berach Acharona. Again, Rashi owes the Taka are not different. And Rashi wasn't too bothered by Kapara and couldn't care less about the Bracha Bar Eish. So Rashi didn't buy into these differences, but Tosfos was very convinced by those two supposed ironclad rayas. So the Tosfos have to explain to you logically why the standards are different. Tosfos gets another shot. So Tosfos says, V'yesh betartzim. V'yesh chiluk ben brichas ha-moisit lo havi kim derabonim. Al-keim atzin zeh zeh brichas ha-moisit shi deraisa l'sham echmiru. What is Tosfos saying? But it's nice to say that our standards for being made to each other in Birchas HaMazon are much, much, much more chomer. Significantly more chomer. Why? Because our take a birchas mazel is much chomer. Why are we so machal birchas mazel? Because at the raisa the chalt was matter achta ksiv. Whereas what's a barer? What's a mitzvah with our 15 friends? The rabban anyway. So therefore, when Chazal instituted the bracha of a mitzi, they didn't make it as chomer as birchas mazel, and therefore birchas mazel, you require a much, much higher degree of tziruf than necessary for bracha vishenu. Anyone know what this yesh betzatzim or say? As it, this din of tziruf, whatever this magic, this deraisa, are you joking? This din itself is a din deraisa? Give me a raya brusha and let you, but it's not. The requirement of three people, I can't be motzi with deraisa because I'm also without three. What? Give me a raya brush, I don't let you. The surf in the boar. The brice itself, that's the source, the brice itself, that's the only source we have of Shnaim Shachliach and Mitzvah the Chalik, that somehow Shmek are in the fall short. The brice itself qualifies. By the way, if you're Tabakhok with a boar, it's not going to work. So, obviously, it's not a Dindaraisa. This is for some deep, dark secret Midrabana, Chazal made this up. We have no idea why. It's 2:10, it's an hour into Shir, and we have absolutely no idea why Chazal said it, but one thing we know, it's not a Dindaraisa. If it would be a Dindaraisa, there would be no exceptions to the rule. Dindaraisa are not made for some people, not for other people. They're universal. So, Afal Pichain, even though this entire discussion is only revolving around a Chumra Midrabana for some deep, dark secret, Chazal chose to institute this Dindarabana, this Chumra, more in the realm of Birchas Mazel than the realm of Birchas Mazel. So even though the din itself was under the Rabbanan, because our general approach, the Torah's outlook on Birchas Mazel is much more chomer. When we look at Hamotzi Lechman Aretz, so this is how we look at Hamotzi. A guy's about to make Hamotzi, so we sit back and, what's the Hamotzi? It's under the Rabbanan. Kate's Mavarach, I'm going to pay Yeshua. Come on, give me a break. It's only a Hamotzi. It's a mere low level. It's a Yalav Yavad Dikashat. It's a very, very low level kind of a din. Make your mozi. Birchas Hamazon, gavalt. The chalt b'svad erachtiksev. What even said deraisa? So therefore, Chazal are going to say that in order to be yaitze Birchas Hamazon, we're going to up the ante a little bit. We're going to make some chumras. We're going to throw chumras at you. Why they made this chumra, I have absolutely no idea yet. I'm going to have a glimpse of it. I haven't shared with you yet. But Chazal made this chumra called somehow Shabbat Kohen, the regular rules don't work, and you need some new fangled rules. That chumra was only made in one area, only by deraisa, not by derabon. A fascinating yesh betartzim. You can already sense in Tosfos how Tosfos senses how almost weak this distinction is. That Tosfos is convinced the distinction exists because the Braisa says mitzvah lechalek, but Tosfos dug up two gemaras that deny that. So Tosfos said there's got to be some kind of a reason. Tosfos is searching for what that mysterious reason is, and they can't quite pin down what the emissary reason is. Rashi says, all your distinctions are not true. None of the distinctions make any sense. And therefore the din is tachah the way I say. I, the two gemaras, I'll figure out what to do with those. I, per me'esh, come on, give me a break. I, the shnei talmidim, I don't know, I'm not sure. So again, we have two different areas that are exceptions to the rules of Shemekar. And we have no idea why they're the exceptions to the rules. And quite frankly, we have no idea why the solution to the exception is somehow accomplished by doing things such as leaning or adding a couple of people to the mix. So otherwise, we understand the entire sugi, except for everything. We don't understand anything with the sugi, not mitchil v'atzoif. But we are still collecting, we're still shalakomazing this part of the sugi, because we're trying to figure out these two factors that inhibit us from invoking Shema Koina. Factor number one was the sitting versus leaning. Factor number two is the numbers of people. Are those equally true by both? So when it came to the yeshiva, I'm sorry, when it came to the 2 versus 3, the Gemara's befavorish by Birchas Hamazon. That's Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Does that spill over? What about the other condition? What about our Mishnah, Daf Mem Beis? Our Mishnah says that you require a seva. Somehow, if you're sitting at attention, you're not leaning. So that's what yeshiva even means. If you're sitting at attention, not leaning, that is an inhibitor of being yaitzei Shema Koina. Does that inhibitor spill over to Birchas Hamazon? Is there such a halach like that by Birchas Hamazon? Do you have any idea? You learn the whole Perek Shlesh Achlu, and the Mishnah is the Gemara's talk for 10 blot about being Yaitzi people in Birchas Hamazon. Does it say anywhere that in order to be Yaitzi in Birchas Hamazon, Ayidei Chavera, you have to be leaning together? Is there a Mishnah that says that? No Mishnah. Is there a Gemara anywhere in all of Shlesh Achlu that says it? No. Is there a Gemara anywhere that says it? Maybe. Depending on how you read the Gemara in Brachas. So, you got to read the Gemara in Brachas. So we probably didn't put that Gemara in the Maamar Kamos. Did I? No, I'll tell you why I didn't. Because I was probably going to put more of it on the next sugya, but we have to look at it now. The primary part of it is going to be the next sugya, but we're going to look at it quickly now because it's going to impact in our discussion. So let's take a look at a Gemara in Brachos in our parak. It's actually not too far down. So the Gemara, the Mishnah told us that the din of yeshiva versus haseiba, whatever yeshiva and haseiba mean, to be determined in the next sugya physically. And the Mishnah is clearly talking about Rosh Hashanah. No shout about that. Now the Gemara tells a story. On the bottom of Membeis and Membeis, let's take a look. Four lines of the Bab, Kinach Nafshei D'Rav. When Rav died, Azlu Tamidim Basrei. So his Tamidim went to accompany him to another city, wherever he was buried. Kihadre, on the way back from the Levaya. So they were hungry, they hadn't eaten all day. Amre Nezav Anecha Lachma Nahar Dank. Let's sit and have some eat lunch on the shores of the river Dank. Okay, you don't have to check up with me now where that river is in Babylonia. Someone will figure it out for me later. Okay, so they were going to sit down and have a eat lunch by the on the river. Basa de karche. Let's read the words very carefully. After they did what? What does the karche mean? What does karche mean? They wrapped? Were they eating wraps? It sounds like they brought the bread. It sounds almost like more of like a pita-ish kind of a, you know, they wrapped the whatever they were eating. It sounds like the meal was over, right? That's what it sounds like. Bosa de karche sounds that way. I think. Or could bosa de karche just mean what? Means they wrapped the food with the into the bread and they're about to make what? Amotzi. So is it 100% clear that this meal was over yet? Not 100%, because we're not exactly sure what karche means. So we weren't there at the river Dank, so we're not sure exactly which stage we're picking up this story. So this is what happened now. Yasev kabavai lehu. All of a sudden, they had the following shayla. Heisebu dafka tanan. It says in the Mishnah that in order to be meitzi somebody in a bracha, I'll leave that vague right now, ambiguous, a bracha, you require haseba. Avo yashvaloi. Merely sitting is no good. And apparently, on the Nad Dank, what were they doing? Most of them had not carried along with them a recliner. So they were probably not on couches. And they're probably just sitting on the ground on the floor. So they were doing yeshiva, not a seba. So they started to hesitate and said, you know what? If the Mishnah says, hasebu, and we're not experiencing haseba, so maybe we, each man for himself. That was one side of the suffix. Odilma, they thought, maybe no. Maybe, even though it's true, we don't have the couches with us, but Kaven the Amri Nezel v'Nechal Rifta Beduchta Pelnisa Ki Haseibu Dami. That maybe the words Haseibu in the Mishnah are not absolute. Maybe you can substitute for Haseibu with something else. What is that? Having an official Kfiyas Makom, an official Dibur. We're making it now. Everyone, come on guys, let's go. Time for lunch. Everyone sit down. But we're having lunch on the way back from the Basic Forest. So maybe that's like accomplishes whatever Haseibah was supposed to accomplish. So that Amir accomplishes that. That was the stuff. Can you imagine the Hilgit Amir? Who was there? Just if you, who do you think was present there? Give me some names. Rav Yehuda, Rav Huna. I mean, you're talking about like, these are, you know, this is serious stuff. The next second generation, the Hilgit Amir, Roy, Bavel, Arabeim, in their younger years, they're sitting and escorting the Rebbe to the Basic Varus, and now they're sitting on the way back, and they can't figure out whether they have met the criteria of Haseibah, because they didn't really meet it, but maybe what they did was sufficient substance for Haseibah. Lahavabiyadat, they didn't know what the answer was. The Pasha weren't sure. Why don't they just make their own brachas safely? What were they chapping around? It's not really right? If the din is that they were really kinyan meitzi, so each pie is supposed to be meitzi. Kam ravad be'ava, hada kar lecheri. Ravad be'ava, in a very dramatic emotion, he stood up, and he had ripped his shirt as a kriya beforehand, like for his Rebbe, a person's Rebbe dies, it's supposed to be like a kriya. He turned his kriya around, v'kara kriya charina, and he ripped kriya a second time. What? Amar nachna, he said, I'm tearing kriya for a tremendous loss. What's the loss? a new loss. Nach nafshe de Rav ubirches bezein aleg amrinan. Rav just died earlier in the day, and we don't even know how to make brachas on food anymore. What a terrible hefsir, a terrible loss, tsar, loss of Torah. So the earlier career was on Rav, the person. Now in the Nebuch, the devastation of the loss of Torah of Rav. What a drama. What did the people not know? What did he say? Birchas Mezeina Legamrina. Anyone want to translate what Birchas Mezeina Legamrina means? So I thought that's like the Aramaic word for Birkat HaMazon, right? Maybe not. Maybe what does Birchas Mezeina mean? The bracha is set on food, which could very possibly mean what? You think that phrase Birchas HaMazon, you think it means like, okay, lunch is over, we're going to begin Birkat HaMazon in 2 minutes. That's what you think Birkat HaMazon means? Maybe Birkat HaMazon means HaMotzi Lechem in Aretz. It's also a Birchas HaMazon. I don't know. I don't know how they spoke in 3rd century Babylonia on the river Dank. I'm not sure what he meant. But the end of the story, Ad Asa Saba, there was an older man there. Ramlu Masis Abraisa, he pointed out what the Gemara was talking about before, Mishnah Nebraisa, Vishani who came with them, and Nezvan Echelach, and Beduch Planka, say with them. He told them that the Emes Lamito is that the Taka was good enough. That just the saying, Nechel Venezel, and Pliny, that's a halach equivalent of a save. That's where the story ends. So the Mishnah made a big machlokes. What was the story? So most of the Mishnah assume that the story was actually referring to Birchas HaMazon. And if that's the case, that's referring to Birchas HaMazon, so then basically what the Amoraim were assuming is that although the Mishnah itself is talking about Brach Rishon, it's clear for the context of the Mishnah, the requirement of Taseba, but Chazal, the Amoraim, understood quite well that that din does carry over to Birchas HaMazon. Whatever the reason for that requirement of a Seba is vis-a-vis Brach Rishon, it's identical to Brach Achronim. And the Tamid Rabbein Yaina quote Yeshamim, that's not true. We misunderstood, so we misread the story. Boston the Kriche doesn't mean after the meal, and Birchas B'zana doesn't mean benching. The whole story is done Rach Mishayna. Anyone want to be Miraya? Why, textually, Rabbein Yaina's pshat is not so bad. There's some flaw in the first pshat.
The part of the Mishnah that we're talking about?
Okay, I mean, that's true, but even more, in the story proper, there's a big question mark in the story. It's a very logistical, very technical question. If you read the story, like most of the Rishonim, like Tosfos read the story, that the Gemara is talking about Birchas HaMazon, and the din of a Seba applies equally to Birchas HaMazon and Birchas HaChrona, how come the Talmidim woke up at the end of the meal? Why did they have the same suffix when? At the beginning of the meal. It's the same Shiloh. What was it? For the first hour, everyone was eating, enjoying their wraps, their pitas, and then all of a sudden they woke up, Barachamu, what do we do? We make a, can I be mates you or not? What did they do an hour ago? So Tosfos got stuck with that kasha. Tosfos says, yeah, you know what happened? It must be that when they started, they were talking eating separately. And then at the very, very last, then by benching, they were all together, then the shayla became. But you know, Hamaitzi was talking each beyond for themselves. And Tamir Rav Enayin is Yeshom and say, no, it wasn't. That was the shayla. The shayla was Bebrach Mishan, not Bebrach Achron. So all of a sudden we find here, so we have this condition of Haseba that is crystal clear in the Mishnah refers to Bracha Rishona, and we're not sure whether it's supposed to help with the Bracha Rishona. It's eerily familiar to the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos before, where the condition of Shleisha spills over. But I'll tell you a secret. The Rishonim are not consistent in this, because the Balei Tosfos hold that the condition of Shleisha does not spill over. That was Taka only said by Benji, not Bracha Rishona. But the condition of Haseba, Tosfos learns, against Rabbeinu Yonah. Most of Rishonim side with Tosfos. So here we have so many riddles. There are so many loose ends in the stories. So let's just recap what we don't know here. We've done an hour of this, just trying to solve this mystery. We find a Mishnah that talks about Yashuv Lech Vavarach Liatzmo, totally ignoring Shemek Oinah. Shemekah works for Dinim Deraisa, Pasha Zohar and Kiddush, and somehow it flops on its head when it comes to Amotzi. No Shemekah. Oh, by the way, yeah, it does work. We do a save, everything's cool. Everything's great. Wonderful. Okay. Then we have a Gemara beginning of the seventh paragraph of Brachos that says, Shemekah, by benching, nah, not so simple. You need three people. lechatchila. But if you have tabachach with a boar, it's okay. It's going to work. Why didn't it work without tabachach with a boar? What was the problem exactly? And the solutions that are given to solve the problems, we don't understand the problem, we understand the solutions. And we're not even sure whether the two sugyas are identical. So Rashi learns that whatever problems existed in terms of numbers spills over to Bracha Rishon also. And Tosfos says that's not true. And Tosfos is claiming whatever problems existed for Hasevus Yeshiva that were originally said by Bracha Rishon do spill over to Bichsav Azor. Rabbi Yoni quotes Yeshiva, it's not true. And we have some Rishon who are saying that one way they do spill, the other way they don't spill. So we have a lot of kashas. We don't understand what happened to Shemekar. We don't understand what the solutions are. We don't understand why some solutions work sometimes and some don't work other times. And Tosfos try to push some of the answers on us. We didn't really quite understand everything. So we have a lot to think about for the next couple of days. So tomorrow, Rabbi said, I'm not going to give shiur tomorrow. I'm going out of town tomorrow morning. So that could be shiur tomorrow. Okay? Well, everyone will be in Seder, and then you can eat lunch, and then back to the Bismedish. So until 2:30, whatever time it is. So there's a lot of work to do on this. So yourself, Mitzvah Shabbat, if all's well, I'll be back Sunday morning. Okay? I'm scheduled to arrive early Sunday morning. So if there's any delay, we'll keep you posted. Okay? A lot of work to do.